Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. And welcome to the show. It is Wednesday, and I'm always happy when I get a chance to talk to my friend and co-host, George Fraser from Real Recovery. Hello, George. How are you?
Billy, I'm good. How are you?
Good. It's been another robust season of Real Recovery, and we've gotten a lot of feedback recently from people who have said that the show is helping their recovery, so that's always a source of encouragement. I know it is for me. I assume it is for you, too.
You know, it really is. It's a bonus. I think just the fact we get to hear the stories every week that we're hopeless, and God transformed people to eliminate their problem and give them a life they never knew possible. I never get tired of hearing that.
No, I love it. And when I talk to people and they write letters to the show and they say, I don't miss an episode, and it's part of my recovery. And I guess I never get tired of hearing that, because I love when people are engaged in their recovery and they're taking an active role and they're connecting with people and they're going to group meetings and they're doing everything they can do to put Christ first in their life. And I'm very encouraged.
Well, you know, encouragement, Bill, is a big topic for me, because I know at one point in my life, I didn't have any hope. And what's happened with the show is not only do people tell us it helps them, which encourages me, but I get to see people that had no encouragement in their life, no hope. And then that totally changed, and what they do now is encourage others. And I know you speak a lot. I speak occasionally. And when somebody comes up and says, that was really helpful, that goes a long way with me. So what I've tried to do in my life now, when I hear a good sermon or good talk, I go out of my way to go up and go, hey, you know, that really helped me. Because when you're on the other end of it, you get that, right?
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. So just as I'm looking out across the front page of the newspaper, I am wondering, you would not be able to be a justice on the Supreme Court.
Well, you know, I think I should be now, Bill. No.
But if we review the George P. Fraser High School career, it's not a good one.
Well, the college one wasn't a lot better, but it was marginal. No, and I think for a lot of us, we can look back and go, have our lives changed since we've become a Christian? Gosh, what a transformation in mine and the people on our show. That is 100%. I think for other people, though, as we talk about, Bill, we think all Christians are in recovery. If your life hasn't changed a lot since you made a decision for Jesus, maybe you're not making a decision to let him run your life, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, anyone who comes in a relationship with Christ, God's saying, I love you just the way you are, and I insist you change.
Yes. Yep, that's the big issue. We don't get the salvation and the Savior without giving the Lordship to him, too. And one of the things I'm learning is it's not in my life that I don't believe Jesus is the Christ and the creator of the universe and the only access to God. I'm learning that I need to give 100% of my life to him and not 70, 80. That's really hard for me, and I get convicted every day. I guess, you know, that's growing along spiritual lines for me.
Mm-hmm. I do hear often when I talk to people in recovery that they're saying to me, I don't know if God can be trusted, because I don't think they have ever trusted themselves, and they've never trusted anyone that they've known, with the exception of maybe one person in their life. So it's real hard to build that bridge to a trusting God and a trusting father, especially if their father hasn't been present in their life.
Yeah, and I think the truest thing for me, Bill, is that, well, God actually have my best intentions. And what I've learned is God's plan is so much better than anything I could come up with. Not that every day is easy. Not that there aren't struggles and suffering. I mean, I think we need to join Christ in his suffering if we're going to join him in, you know, his joy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's it. I guess for me, you know, what I get from working with people and in my own life, if I'm honest about it, and I try to be, I really don't trust God. I know that God said all these things, And every time another miracle happens, I go, okay, I trust him a little more. But my tendency is to doubt and wonder and hope that his will aligns with mine.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that, George. I just want always to remind listeners in the afternoon that the weekend show Real Recovery does air at 5 o'clock on Sunday and replays Saturday at 3. And to encourage anyone who's suffering from an addiction of any kind, whether it be drugs and alcohol or what they do on their computer or shopping or food or whatever, that there is a place to go for redemption. And I just want to let our listeners know in this time that the doors are open and the welcome mat is out.
Yeah, and you know what's real helpful to me, Bill, on that is I listen to the Faith Radio Network, Chuck Swindoll, Jeremiah sometimes, and I need to get the instruction, need to be saturated with the word, but it's always nice for me to see flesh on it and to see what God's really done in people's lives, stories you could not make up that are true, and there's millions of God's stories in our lives. It's not our story, it's his, and mm-hmm. I never get tired of hearing it.
Yeah. Well, George, I know you're just at the gym getting ready to go work out, so go put on your swimsuit and go swimming.
Okay, buddy. Thanks,
all right.
Boy.
I'm so glad I didn't say Speedo. All right, we'll take a break and be back with more in just a minute.
God is able to do abundantly above all we could ask or think, and he invites us to ask him. This week, as part of the Faith Radio prayer team, we're asking God to cultivate a fresh expectancy in our lives, to dream big dreams, pray big prayers, and take big faith steps to see God at work in and through us. Join us asking, seeking, and knocking every week by becoming a member of the Faith Radio Prayer Team. It's free and easy to sign up at myfaithradio.com/prayer.
Experiencing not just information, but transformation.
It's been such an encouragement to receive so much practical wisdom and see people who are really living for God with all their heart and soul and mind and strength. And, it's been such an encouragement for me through various struggles and getting free from various sins, and I think probably the biggest benefit of all listening over these years has just been more passion to seek the Lord myself and my life.
Faith Radio.
It's 11 minutes after the hour. You know, George Frazier always claims he's a busy guy. I'm not so sure about that. Although one day he did go to the post office and the bank in the same day. I wasn't sure how he did it. So impressive. All right. I love so many segments I try to do on the show. One, which I really get a kick out of, is Words of the Wise. And that is to be a candidate for that that segment. I think you need to have followed the Lord for decades and decades and decades and decades and decades. And my guest today, Paul Ramseer, is quite familiar around Faith Radio and a 50-plus career. And he is, I think, 92 or 93. I had a chance to chat with him. And so the really question is, Paul, you know, you've been here for 43 years. What was the first thing you did?
The first thing I did was type the daily program log and put in the spot announcements and all the programs, of course. And I did some part-time announcing. Excuse me, I got to get this river. A frog in my throat.
No problem. Get that out.
Probably coffee would do it better than water. Anyway, sorry about that.
No problem.
But then I gradually did more announcing and got into programming more fully and eventually became program director for the station after a couple of years and started doing some various programs, interviews, reading Christian biographies and fiction. And the most important thing, I guess, from durability and longevity was reading The Adventures of the Sugar Creek Gang. And I read all 36 books of Paul Hutchins' works under the title The Sugar Creek Gang three times over a period of years, changing a number of things along the way to try to improve it. And I guess that's my most enduring legacy in terms of programming. And it continued to have a life after that, after it went off the air, because it's available on, first of all, it was on cassette and then CD for consumption for sale. And so families all over the place could have it to play anytime they wanted. And that's been a real source of joy for me. And the son-in-law of Paul Hutchins, who wrote that series, Kyle Wilson, lives here, and he was on the faculty at Northwestern. He was chaplain here for a period of time. And he's an alumnus of Northwestern, too, as was his wife, who passed away a while back. So that's one of the high points program-wise, I guess, for me. But I gradually got into administration, becoming manager of KTIS, and after being program director for the station for a while. And that continued on for several years. And then the last 17 years of my tenure here, I was VP for broadcasting for our network. Now, I enjoyed programming more than administration, much more, but I had the opportunity, and I guess I got pulled kicking and screaming into administration because that was not my first love, but it was an opportunity that I realized was there, and I could take advantage of it, hopefully for the Lord's glory. You know, I like 1 Corinthians 4:7 and 2 Corinthians 4:7. I think we ought to read them every day. For who makes you differ from another, and what have you that you did not receive? Now, if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? And all of us have some kind of gifts, and it's up to us to utilize those gifts for God's glory and realize that He, in the long run, must get the glory for it. It can't accrue to us. And then, Second Corinthians 4:7 then is, but we have this treasure in jars of clay, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And those two 4:7s have helped me, they've become a ballast for me, spiritual ballast in my life. They were all during my career. And incidentally, this all started in terms of scripture memory in the summer of 1949 when I was at a camp for Christian college students who were taking on leadership positions in their schools. And a guy was there who was a university staff member, but a closet navigator. And he knew a lot of things about scripture memory and Bible study and quiet time and the prayer life and how to witness and why and all those good things. And even though I've been brought up in a Christian home and traveled with my parents in their evangelistic work until I was in high school, no one had ever taken me aside and really shown me what was important in terms of walking with the Lord, how to do it, and why. And this guy, well, we spent 3 weeks of that remainder of that camp every morning on the beach. I was drinking from a fire hose spiritually, and but it was a turning point in my life. It set the pace for what was to happen years later, and I believe without that experience, none of what has happened since then in my ministry here would have occurred. So God saw fit to give me that opportunity and plant that in me, and I'm forever grateful to Him. And for since then, for people who've blessed me and helped me grow and mentored me, and we should be mentored and we should be mentoring people all the time, looking for opportunities to do that.
Amen. All right. If I can just take a break.
Paul. Boy, I didn't realize I'm going to be talking all that long.
Yeah, but we should take a break. We'll take a little break. I'm talking to Paul Ramseer, Minnesota Broadcasting Hall of Fame, and was here at KTIS for 50 years. We're talking about words of the wise, and I'm loving this. We'll take a short break and be back with Paul in just a minute. I'm having my lovely once-on-occasional opportunity to have words of the wise, which is what I call the time when you sit down with a brother or sister in Christ who's been following Jesus for decades and decades, and then they can look back on their life and share pearls of wisdom and what they learned and what to encourage us with and what's important after years and years of ministry. And I'm in studio with the living legend of radio, Paul Ramseer. He's nice enough to join us today. Hello, Paul.
Hi, Bill.
Well, I'm so glad you could be with me today, and I love Words of the Wise because we need to be learning from people who have been following Jesus for years and years and years, and you've certainly been doing that.
Well, Bill, I feel blessed to have the opportunity to I thank the Lord, first of all, that he saw fit to place me in a Christian home, and the benefits of that, my childhood, and then later years to bring people into my life to help me get established and grow in the disciplines of the Christian life, which made all the difference in the world.
Mm-hmm. How old were you when you came to faith in Christ?
I was about 10 years old.
Okay. And do you remember the occasion? Do you?
It was in a tent meeting in Ventura, California, and I was sitting in the front row, sawdust on the floor there, a wooden bench. And my father was the musician song leader for these meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an evangelist preaching, gave a strong message to come to Christ. And I kind of visually measured the distance from where I was sitting to the altar and made a mad dash. And
yeah. You the first one there?
I might have been. My dad was the second one. And,
oh, really?
And he led me to the Lord. And I can still feel that. Remember that clean feeling going home that night after church, and that something had really happened in my life
mm-hmm.
that had not occurred before. And, of course, I wasn't perfect from that point on, but I was on a new course in life.
Indeed. Do you remember any passage of Scripture that was shared at that pivotal night in your life?
Might have been 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Okay.
Could have been John 3:16.
Of course, yeah.
But if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things, mm-hmm. old things have passed away. All things have become new. It was one of those verses, but I know I was under deep conviction, and even though I hadn't gotten off into deep sin mm-hmm. at that tender age, why I still realized I was a sinner.
That's fantastic, isn't it? That's
yeah.
the truth of the gospel, and it's
it is.
Yeah, I love it. So then you grateful to grow up in a Christian home, and you spent most of all of your career bringing glory to God's name.
Yeah, as I say, over the years, we're not perfect as Christians. We're all flawed,
right?
But you know, we can't be perfect, but we can be blameless. And that's what I think we should aim for, being blameless,
mm-hmm.
according to what the Scripture often says. And I had a lot of different experiences over the years of throwing me into the midst of situations and surroundings that were anything but Christian. I went to secular schools, and so I was exposed to all the stuff you would get there. Although I did go to seminary for a while after college. But amazingly, I grew most of my Christian life when I was at a secular university, and that was simply because of the ministry of InterVarsity Christian Fellowship and the Navigators.
Wow.
And that really made a difference and marked a turning point in my life in terms of really, as they say, getting down to business with
right.
God.
I have a feeling the Navigators got you engaged in Scripture memorization right away.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. The topical memory system.
Yes.
108 okay. verses.
Yeah.
You heard about them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've done lots of Scripture memorization through the Navs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
It's been fantastic.
Well, what a difference it makes. Not that we go around boasting, well, I know this many verses by heart, but it makes such a difference. If it was just to keep us from sin, it would be worth memorizing Scripture. Mm-hmm. But there are dozens of reasons why we should do it.
Yeah. So how do we live out our Christian walk? How do we do it in a way that we get God's Word, we put it in our hearts, we memorize His Word, but then how do we go live it out each day? Instead of just professing beliefs in God, how do we just show the world what it means to be a believer in Christ?
Well, I think by our spirit, our attitude, and I remember years ago when I was in the Army, and we were in basic training down in Fort Polk, Louisiana.
What year would this be?
That would have been about 1951.
So you were headed to the Korean War?
Yeah, subsequently.
Okay.
But I had basic training here, and then we went to Japan and then to Korea.
Okay.
But we had several forced marches where, without any warning, you'd be called out of the barracks. Okay, fall out, gonna have a march, and we'd march for 4 or 5 miles without any advance warning. And I had planned to do something else. I didn't want to have to do this. And most of the guys were complaining, I could use a stronger word, of what they were doing, mm-hmm. about this forced march business. And I didn't realize it, but I guess I'd taken it in stride and hadn't said much. And one of my bunk mates said one day, "How come you don't complain about this stuff, these forced marches?" And I said, "I had a chance to witness and share." Well, I because Christ gives me the ability to deal with it and try not to complain. And I never forgot that because it reminded me that how I receive things that happen in my life, how I'm perceived to be as a person by others around me, can be a tremendous witness. It says in Philippians 2, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless." Mm. And boy, I still struggle to do that. Believe me, I don't always refrain from complaining. But I think that's a real testimony that people pick up on in life, day-by-day life situations.
Mm-hmm. I just love this discussion with Paul Ramseer. We're going to continue it after the break. I had a chance to sit down with him for about an hour. So we're going to continue this. We'll take a little break because we have to. But when we come back, more with Paul Ramseer, Minnesota Broadcasting Hall of Fame and a 50-year employee here at Northwestern, University of Northwestern, and in the radio department and media. We're just so glad that his life is such a blessing and he speaks with such authority and love and conviction of what Christ has done in his life. I call this segment the wisdom, the words of the wise. So lots of wisdom to be had. We'll take a short break and be back with more Paul in just a minute. Welcome back to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. That's me. I'm so glad you joined me today. We are doing what I call the words of the wise. And my guest, Paul Ramseer, he arrived in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul in 1953 to attend Northwestern Seminary. He got involved with the college's radio station, KTIS, and had a distinguished career of more than 40 years in broadcasting. Started as an announcer, KTIS. He was promoted to program director and then to manager, finally becoming Northwestern College Vice President of Broadcasting and Outreach. So he has had quite a career. Let's continue our discussion with Paul. Paul, how did God walk you through some of the heartbreaks in your life?
Boy.
Because I know you've had some, right? I mean, isn't that just a given without even knowing what they might be? I just know you've had them.
Well, you're right. Yeah. Some of them have been, oh my. I think way back, I had some earlier ones before. I was dating a gal who I had known as a teenager, a young person, and I had some memories of us as families, our families, and I had sort of a fantasy about our being together, dating, and ultimately marrying, and during college, she was going to Wheaton while I was going to Northwestern U, and we dated a bit. And then all of a sudden, one day, she said, "I don't think we're supposed to be going on with this," and "this is probably not meant to be," or something like mm-hmm. that. And that really broke my heart. But God gave grace to continue on, and he gave me Grace, by the name, that's the name of my wife.
Which was indeed meant to be.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. That was one of the biggest disappointments. But at work, there have been times when things have happened, decisions were made that I didn't agree with, or and years ago we used to struggle with the issue of music in radio, the kinds of Christian music to play. Mm-hmm. And that became a major issue, and it was a sore point. And I would have a number of breakfasts with hard-boiled eggs and whatever else that was unpleasant because I was being reprimanded for playing a certain song or this type of thing. Fortunately, that doesn't happen today. It hasn't happened in years. Mm-hmm. But I felt that my judgment was being questioned, and I was trying to be relevant, and it's sort of like on a ship where you don't want to be in the bow of the ship in terms of your relevancy, but you don't want to be back in the stern either and be irrelevant. And so it's a balancing act.
Mm-hmm.
But that's radio, and broadcasting is so subjective in many ways. And what pleases one person is going to disappoint another.
Mm-hmm. When you look back on your life, are you a nostalgic person, for starters? Do you have fond memories of the past? When you look at the way the world has gone over the last 50 years, are you shocked at what you see, or are you shrugging your shoulders and thinking, this is what I expected, something this crazy?
I'm not sure I anticipated. Sort of things came, and I would often be disappointed at developments in the world and in our, some of the world leaders, some of the leaders in our country. But I would trust in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good, at least to them who love God and live according to his purpose. We live in a fallen world, and it's not going to line up the way we want it to much of the time. And we're blessed when it happens to do that, and we can pray that it does. But there's so much, because of the fallen nature of humanity, I'm kind of amazed that it hasn't been worse in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
But the way things are going now, I'm concerned it is going to get – it's worse. Right today, it is worse morally than I've ever seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a real concern.
Yeah. Paul, when you think of God, what's the first thought you have?
I would say holiness.
Okay.
And love, grace, faithfulness, those words come to mind as I think of my relationship to him. We're so blessed to be a part of his kingdom, and the fact that he reached down at one point and drew us to himself
mm-hmm.
through nothing we earned or should have received. It was all by his grace, and how blessed we are to be recipients of his mercy, his love, and his grace.
Mm-hmm. When you look over your life and look back on his faithfulness in the prayers that were answered, and then also the prayers that he didn't answer. When you look back and you think about those prayers that maybe didn't get answered the way you hoped, do you now have a perspective that God was in control of everything?
Mm.
And aren't you glad he didn't answer those prayers?
Yes. Oh, yeah. There are times when that was certainly true. And I had no way of knowing really what his will should be, so I just had to simply leave it in his hands and trust him to work what was best in a given situation. I'm disappointed, like everybody else, over the years at some things that happened, but amazed that more things of a disappointing nature hadn't happened, mm-hmm. really.
Yeah. As we are citizens of another kingdom, how have your thoughts about eternity changed over the last 10 or 20 years?
Well, getting older, I think more about eternity and about heaven, and read books that tell me what it's going to be like. Mm-hmm. And over the years, I've read several, and I'm quite amazed at some of the things apparently that many godly people believe is going to be our experience in heaven. So I think a lot more about eternity and how soon I may enter into it. Of course, mm-hmm. What's that book, that new book out by John Ortberg?
Eternity's in Session. It's in Session. Yeah, isn't that fantastic?
Yeah. And to realize that it's right now and it continues on. But I think I want to lay up treasures in heaven more and more. Is it 1 Timothy 6:7? We can take nothing out of this world. We have brought nothing into it. So we should focus on what's going to last for eternity, laying up treasures in heaven. And I think about that a lot more. And basically, it comes down to how we invest in the lives of other people in a spiritual way and what we send on ahead in terms of resources to advance God's kingdom. Mm-hmm.
Paul Ramseur is my guest, and I'm doing my Words of the Wise segment, and he is so wise, you know, and he's 93 years old, and I think to myself, I hope I speak that well when I'm 93, but then I just realize I don't speak that well now. So that's the problem. We'll take a little break, and we'll come back more with Paul Ramseur in just a minute. Welcome back to the show. I am enjoying my conversation with Paul Ramseur, Words of the Wise. If you are going to be on that segment, you're going to be a follower of Christ for decades and decades and decades. And Paul certainly fits that description. I'm just such a fan, and he was open to me asking all kind of tough questions. Let's pick it up. So if you were going to be speaking to a group of college kids, And they want to go conquer the world, and they want to organize their life and make it all happen, and they had a lot of ambition, what would be some advice you'd give to them?
They're college age.
Mm-hmm.
I would say be sure that your roots are going down spiritually, that you're strong in your walk with the Lord, your quiet time. And something else, I think a habit that would be tremendously strategic for not only a college-age person but a young businessman or woman, and that is being a part of a small accountability group where you are meeting with four or five other people perhaps on a regular basis, mm-hmm. and being accountable to these people for your Christian walk and being very honest about how you're doing with the Lord, because I think this can preserve a lot of people crashing and burning spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Who is it? Howard Hendricks said, "Anybody who's not involved in a small group is a disaster waiting to happen."
Yeah,
and that's pretty scary to think about. And I feel there's so many well-known people today who've been in ministry for a long time that are falling by the wayside spiritually. It's frightening. And it really should, is a great concern, and I believe we should more than ever be praying for people in positions of great authority. But I don't want to deviate from this idea of the young person being accountable, and if they're starting off and continuing from their college years on, they're likely going to be okay in their mature adult years.
Mm-hmm.
If they form these good habits of accountability, strong in Scripture, and I believe they can avoid the attacks of Satan successfully.
Mm-hmm. Paul, how has your discernment changed over the years? I mean, with wisdom, with God's word in your heart, and then you have wisdom and discernment, how has that grown or changed over decades?
Now, that's something that's a little bit hard to measure. But I think that just the experience of living and going through different events in one's life of various kinds, the whole growing process that takes place as we mature and age and spiritually, I think if we pay attention to what's going on in our lives, we should be developing discernment. It should happen as a byproduct
mm-hmm.
of our being an observant, or observing what's happening around us, making good decisions, facing temptations successfully, and being able to tell others, well, you know, I went through this too, and God gave me grace to make it, and you can too. And temptations are something that I think never leave us in this life, and we have to be constantly on our guard,
mm-hmm.
even right up to the end of our lives, really,
mm-hmm.
because there are a lot of good beginners in the Christian life, but few good finishers, and that's a scary thought.
That is hard to do, isn't it? To finish well.
To finish well.
Yeah.
Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the course.
Yeah. Yet there's something so beautiful about that when someone has finished well.
Yeah. And that's something I want to do. I want to finish well and not embarrass the Lord or embarrass mm-hmm. anybody else.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there's going to be too much concern about that, Paul.
Well, we're all human and frail.
I know. So when you go into a restaurant today and you see everyone staring at their telephone, what do you think about how hard it is today to connect to people and to reach the lost for Christ when everyone seems so self-absorbed in their personal electronics?
Well, that's really a problem. It is a good question. It's tragic the way people are self-absorbed in the digital age. You have to do something to get their attention. I haven't really tried to witness to someone like this, but it's a good challenge. Thanks for the reminder to try it. Now I got to try to see if I can formulate a way of breaking through the digital barrier.
Mm-hmm.
But some kind of provocative question, or maybe about what they're working on and what they're involved with there, and it's a huge barrier,
mm-hmm.
and it's tragic because of such a waste in that mm-hmm. person's life.
Yeah. Paul, maybe you would give some words of encouragement to listeners who might be homebound and they're not getting out the way they would like to, and maybe they've got some bitterness in their heart and maybe some resentment. Maybe they're not at a place of being right with the Lord. Because your whole comment about ending well stirred my heart to say, what about the people who are in a place where they're probably not going to end well if they don't do something different?
Mm-hmm.
Repent of sin, ask for forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
Take a proactive step to try to reconcile a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's so simple to do it. If you're in a position where you're uncertain about your relationship with the Lord, you can settle that so quickly if you're sincere. And the Bible says, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, Romans 10:13. And it's as simple as that. And recognize that you are a sinner and only Christ can save you, and he's waiting to do it. And all you have to do is call on him, and he'll enter and change your life, your perspective, and give you a whole new attitude about things and just make all the difference in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And after you've done that, there are so many helps available in the Christian life. One of them, of course, is this station.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible is the main one, obviously. And if you're lonely, by the way, and are already a Christian, how about striking up a telephone relationship with someone else who's lonely? Ask the Lord to lead you to someone who has the same needs, perhaps, or similar ones as you do. And another thing that you can do is become a prayer warrior. Pray for all kinds of ministries need prayer today. Many of them are mentioned on the station. But if you pay attention, you'll find all kinds of situations that need intercession. And you can be a prayer partner and make a huge difference in some ministry.
Mm-hmm. So, Paul, as we wrap things up here, if you wake up at 2 in the morning and you're just alone with your thoughts, where does your mind go in God's Word?
It quite often goes to the Scripture, but other times it goes to a song.
Okay,
I've had so much music pumped into my life since I was a child that I'll often think of a song I might have heard 50 years ago mm-hmm. or 70 years ago. And the Lord will bring it to mind, and it comforts me, encourages me.
Mm-hmm. Do you hear it playing in your head, or how do you enjoy it? How do you?
It's playing
it?
In my head.
Yeah,
and then I'll maybe sing it.
Full orchestra?
No, probably just a solo.
Okay.
By the way, have you ever read 1 Chronicles 16:9 in the Message?
I have not, but I love that passage.
Okay. It's something like this. I don't have it down totally, but the thought is about play songs to him, sing to him, tell the whole world who he is and what he has done. And I love this. So it's about both the word and music, and I love this final phrase of that verse: "Broadcast all his wonders."
Mm.
Now there's a verse for broadcasting. Broadcast all his wonders.
I love that. So, what would you want people to remember about you and your life?
Oh. You know, there's so much in broadcasting. It's a public media, and we all, whether we want to or not, attain a certain amount of fame, quote unquote, notoriety, in the minds of some people. And I just want to be sure that people know that it's all by God's grace. Whatever has happened in my life. That has been eventful, goes to the glory of God. And he's the one who deserves the credit. And I'm just, what did John Newton say about being a servant? And he humbled himself totally in his walk with the Lord and gave total credit to the one who saved a servant of slaves.
Mm, it's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing parts of your life with us and for coming into the studio and having this Words of the wisdom, words of the wise.
Thank you, Bill.
Yeah, thank
and thank you,
you so
for
much.
What you're doing.
Well, my pleasure.
Really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
God's using you.
Thank you so much. I sure love Paul Ramseer and what a gift he has been to Faith Radio and what a joy he was to talk to for a full hour. God bless you, Paul, if you're listening today. I just want to thank you for coming into the studio and making my day, making my week, maybe my whole month. Who knows? That just really was a great time with you. And thank you. We got a great second hour coming up. I do want to say that David Wheaton is going to be with us, and he is going to talk about a little bit about what's going on, headlines of the news. So that's going to be interesting because I think we all know what that is. But he's going to be coming at it from a very interesting perspective. So I am looking forward to that. And then Dave Runyon is going to be on the show as well in the second hour. And he is the co-founder and director of City Unite, which helps government, business, and faith leaders unite around common causes. In 2010, he launched a neighboring movement that mobilized over 70 churches and 40,000 people in the Denver metro area. So he's doing something right because we need to talk to our neighbors. We need to get more connected. I think we need to make our homes and our apartments and wherever you live opportunities where we meet and interact, which I don't know if that's the natural default anymore for people. I think the natural default is to keep the headphones on and go in the house and try not to talk to people. But maybe that's just what I observe, because it's seems like the better good old days, there were a lot of people on their in their yards and in their front porches. And of course, I'm probably showing a little bit of age right now, but there was a time that we didn't drive into our houses, our garages, and then not talk to people. So, and I just see people in grocery stores and coffee shops and everything else, there seems to be less conversation. So, you know, some of that is definitely a function of the headphones on and looking at the phone. I get that. You know, technology is a great thing, but we create technology, then it turns around and recreates us. That's what we have to be very careful about, because we are analog beings living in a digital world, and we still need eye contact, and we still need an arm around you and a hug, and sometimes we just need people to look us in the eye and have a real conversation with each other. So that's be interesting to talk to Dave Runyon about that. I think we're going to learn a lot. He's going to talk even about how you handle an angry or vindictive neighbor. That is, I don't struggle with that, but I do want to hear how that works. And that's all in hour two. So thank you for listening to Afternoons with me, Bill Arnold. I'm awfully glad you joined me, and we've got a great second hour coming up. So if you I also found out on this day, in 1960, this is going to make me happy, the Andy Griffith Show debuted in 1960. I have all, I have every episode on DVD there. I admitted it. I love that show. I kind of grew up watching that show. And now I see that Roseanne, that show premiered again last night without Roseanne, which I thought was kind of weird. They should have just gotten another Roseanne, just kind of like in Bewitched, where Darren, I think something happened to him. They just got a new Darren. Just made it easier, you know? I think that's the way to do it. All right, we'll take a short break and be back with hour two in just a minute. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.